Well, hey, this morning we're kind of jumping back into a normal message. If you've been with us, you know that over the last several weeks we had the Christmas Eve service, our family Christmas service, so it was a little bit different, didn't do a regular message. If you were here last week, we had an amazing time of testimony where we got to hear stories from you out there of how God has blessed you and helped you through this past year. And so it's been great, it's been wonderful, but this morning we're going to kind of jump back into our normal flow of messages, and we're going to start a little series titled The Power of Our Words. The power of our words. Now, the interesting thing is if you've been here, I don't usually start the new year off with a series. Oftentimes, we have so many different things going on with our anniversary that's happening next week and all this stuff. There's so many different things going on. I just usually kind of do some basic topical messages until things kind of settle down at the end of January. But last Sunday, I was home relaxing, enjoying some football, playing some of my new arcade games from The Price is Right, just enjoying a Sunday afternoon off after church, when I got a phone call from my son. Now, Toby had been home for the holidays, but he was scheduled to serve in kids' ministries last year at his church down in Eugene. And so he drove down there to serve, but was coming back that afternoon. And right after leaving my parents, his grandparents' house, his check engine light came on. And then it started blinking at him. And if you know anything about cars, that's not a good sign when it starts blinking at you. You really should pull over and call whoever it is that maintains your vehicles. So Toby pulled over and called me. And I ended up hopping in my van and driving to Junction City that day to fix his car. And as I was driving out of Dallas, thinking, seriously, I was just about to just kind of block everything out, relax, and just enjoy the rest of the day. And now I'm having to hop in my car and drive for an hour. But as I was heading out of Dallas, I was thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? What do you want to say to me in this journey, in the midst of this moment as I'm heading down to Junction City? And so I spent the whole drive down just praying and seeking the Lord. I was praying for my family. I was praying for the church. I was praying for this next year. I was praying for some of you. And just asking God, is there something that he wanted to do or show me in this unexpected time on the road? But it wasn't until my drive back that I actually started to hear the Lord stirring some things in me. One of the things I like to do when I'm driving alone is listen to books on tape. And so I pulled up my Audible app and began looking to see what books I had to start reading for the drive home. And the interesting thing is, at first I was just going to read a fiction book that was just for fun, that I thought would be a fun read, but I couldn't find it. And when I tried to download it, it said, sorry, error, unable to download. And so I looked to see, are there any books that are already downloaded? And there was a book that I'm guessing my wife put on there for me by Mark Batterson, because she knows I am a huge Mark Batterson fan, and he just wrote a new book in this past year. And so there was this book on there titled Please, Sorry, Thanks. And it's that very book that this series, The Power of Our Words, is based off of this morning. And I'm totally stealing 75% or more of what I am planning to share today straight from Mark Batterson, all right? And I'm not ashamed of it, because I believe this book is a powerful tool that speaks to where our world is right now. I think it's a timely book that he wrote in 2023. A timely message for us and for all people. We live in a time where I believe our words are doing more hurt and damage than we actually realize. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, the tongue has the power of life and death. And right now in our world, it feels like we're seeing a lot more death come out of our mouths than life. Especially towards those that don't act or believe the way we think that they should act or believe. Mark Batterson says that our words don't just represent the world objectively. Our words create the world subjectively. And if we want to change the world, we have to change our words. We have to change the things that come out of our mouth. Many of us here may remember the old saying growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, right? I remember saying that when I was little. Now, I'm not sure who first came up with that saying, but they obviously didn't know the power of words, because negative names and words, they do hurt, right? They hurt. Like we read in Proverbs 18:21 just a second ago, our words have the power to build up or to tear down. They can hurt or they can heal. That is what this series is all about. It's a series to challenge us to think about the words that we use on a regular basis throughout our day, with our family, with our friends, with people we don't even know. To think about the power that our words have on others, and also the power that words have on ourselves. Now, the Bible shows us the power of words from the very beginning. If you have your Bibles, you can open them this morning to Genesis chapter 1, right? The very beginning of the Bible. I want to take a minute to look at just the first three verses found there in Genesis 1. Because I think these verses truly show us the power of words. Listen to what it says. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Here we have our glimpse, our first glimpse, right, of the God of the universe. And what is he doing? He is creating the world with his words, with his voice. He is creating and bringing life into existence by merely speaking it, speaking words. Four words there. Let there be light. Those four words began to bring the universe into existence. And through him and through his words, all things, everything was created. All things have been spoken into existence. Many of us know here that I dabble in the art of illusion, right? As a youth pastor, I used to do different tricks and illusions for illustrations to help, whether it's young kids or youth, kind of understand what I was saying a little bit better. And if you've been around, I've used these illusions in our family services. This morning I want to do a little illusion for you. It's a very simple trick. I do this a lot of times for little kids. It's called my Like God coloring book, okay? We all grew up coloring, right? And you know that when you get a coloring book, usually it's full of pages that need to be colored, right? Well, this is my Like God coloring book, because when you first look at the coloring book, you'll see here when you kind of go through it, there is it's just blank, right? As you thumb through it, there's nothing in there, right? What do you color? Well, it's my Like God coloring book, because what did God do? He spoke things into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, of this, you just say, let there be pictures, and then as you look through it, all of a sudden there's pictures through it, right? And so that's why I call it my Like God coloring book. And then we know that God didn't be like, oh, let there be a magic marker so I can color the sky blue and color the grass green, right? No, he just said, let the sky be blue. Let the colors be there. And then all of a sudden, this magic coloring book, you know, has colors. That's why I call it my Like God coloring book. And it's just a fun illustration to show people how God used his words and spoke things into existence. And I'm sure many of you, you know, if you watched how I quickly changed from one book to the other, how I hid them in places you don't even know, it's really just an illusion, right? It's not real. But the main reason I decided to share this little trick with you is because I learned from Mark Matterson's book that the word abracadabra, right? One of those words that's used by many magicians. A lot of times magicians will be like, abracadabra, poof, right? The word abracadabra is the most universally used word that does not require translation. I thought that was interesting, right? It doesn't require translation. When people hear a magician use that word, right, they know something magical is going to happen. Abracadabra, poof, right? Something magical, something's going to happen. Now, here's the funny thing. I never use the word abracadabra when I do these illustrations for youth, for young kids. I never use that word because I want to make sure that they understand that what I'm doing isn't magic per se, right? That it's just an illusion. It's a simple trick. But in his book, Mark Batterson points out that the word abracadabra is really more spiritual than it is magical. Because that word in Aramaic literally means, as I speak, I shall create. It's what God did, right? As he spoke, he created. God did the greatest abracadabra ever in the beginning, right? He spoke and things were created. And though we may not have the power that God has, the power to create new galaxies and universes, we do have something that no other creature in creation has. We have the ability to speak life with our words. We were created in the image of God. And he has given us the ability to use our words to create life in others, to encourage, to empower, and to help others in this difficult journey known as life. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we using our words to create life or to create strife, right? I think we've seen a lot more strife in our world lately from the words that we use. As we've seen, God first used his words to create life. And then the second way he used his words was to bless. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. These are the first recorded words that God spoke towards mankind, which come before the fall. And they are words of blessing to his people. We serve a God that desires to bless. And as people that are created in his image, I believe that we are called to be people who do the same. That we should be people who strive to use our words to create life and to bless others. Mark Batterson shares a powerful story in his book about the power of words that I want to share with us this morning. It's about a young girl named Marianne Bird. Here is her story as she tells it. I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started to go to school, my classmates, who were constantly teasing me, made it clear to me how I must look to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and hollow and somewhat garbled speech. I couldn't even blow up a balloon without holding my nose. And when I bent to drink from a fountain, the water spilled out of my nose. When schoolmates asked me, "What happened to your lip?" I'd tell them that I'd fallen as a baby and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident to have been born different. By the age of 7, I was convinced that no one outside of my own family could ever love me, or even like me for that matter. But then I entered 2nd grade and Miss Leonard's class. I never knew what her first name was, just Mrs. Leonard. She was round and pretty and fragrant, with chubby arms and shining brown hair and warm dark eyes that smiled even on the rare occasions when her mouth didn't. Everyone adored her. But no one came to love her more than I did, and for a very special reason. The time had come for the annual hearing test that they gave at our school back in those days. I was barely able to hear anything out of one of my ears and was not able to reveal yet another problem that would single me out as different. And so I cheated. I had learned to watch the other children and raise my hand when they did during group testing. The whisper test, however, required a different kind of deception. Each child would go to the door of the classroom, turn sideways, close one ear with a finger, and the teacher would whisper something from her desk, which the child would then repeat. Then the same thing was done for the other ear. I had discovered in kindergarten that nobody checked to see how tightly the untested ear was being covered, so I merely pretended to block mine. As usual, I was last. But all through the testing, I wondered what Miss Leonard might say to me. I knew from previous years that the teacher whispered things like, "The sky is blue," or, "Do you have new shoes?" Well, my turn came. I turned my bad ear to her, plugging up the other solidly with my finger, then gently backing the finger out enough to be able to hear. I waited, and then came the words that God had surely put into her mouth. 7 words that changed my life forever. Mrs. Leonard, the pretty, fragrant teacher I adored, said softly, "I wish you were my little girl." 7 simple words that changed the life of Marianne Bird forever. She was used to being teased. She was used to hearing words that caused her to feel unwanted and rejected. And here Miss Leonard spoke life and blessing into her ears. I know that there are many people in our world that feel like Marianne Bird, that feel the way she did before Mrs. Leonard's words. And I hope that that's not how any of us feel here. But if it is this morning, I think God is wanting to whisper into your ear. He wants to say, "You are my child. You are my little girl or my little boy. I created you, and I don't make mistakes. I love you, and I want to bless you this morning." Words are powerful. And the words that we speak have the power to breathe life into others. In our Foursquare series that we did in the fall, talking about Foursquare, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. We talked about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and prophetic words that God gives us. And I believe that we are called to operate in the power of the Spirit, that we are called to operate in this way. And when we operate in the power of the Spirit, this is how we speak words that change lives. Because we serve a God that only speaks life, that only speaks blessing upon His people. And when we learn to walk in the power of the Spirit, we are able to speak powerful and prophetic words that give people hope and a life for the future. When I was in the fifth grade, I went to a revival meeting with my parents up in Seattle. We spent the whole weekend there. It was this 3 or 4 day event. And one of the evenings afterwards, we were in the hotel room. I was staying in the hotel room with my aunt and a few cousins. And there were a few other people, some family friends that had gathered. There was probably about 5 or 6 of us in that hotel room. And they began to talk about what God was doing. And we began to, they were praying and just singing some worship. And that night, God began to speak prophetically through my aunt. And if I'm being honest, as an 11-year-old, it was a little scary. I wasn't sure what was happening in the moment. But at one point, my aunt turned to me. And she began to share with me. She said, "I feel like God is giving me a word for you." And she began to share that God was going to use me in powerful ways. And she told me that God would give me visions of things yet to come, that I'd be able to help people and have wisdom from the Lord. Now, the crazy thing is, I don't know that prophetic word has totally come to fruition yet. I think there are still things, bits and pieces that God wants to do to fulfill that word that was given to me all those years ago. But it's that word that eventually led me into ministry. It's that word that has helped me keep moving forward in the difficult and challenging times, to keep trusting that God is still using me to make a difference in the world, that He still wants to fulfill those prophetic words in my life. Those words, all those years ago, affected my life greatly. 40 years ago, it just dawned on me. I was 11 years old, I'm 51. 40 years ago, those words have impacted me. I think it's important that we understand that the words we speak into other people's lives can be powerful. The words that we speak about ourselves can be powerful, and they have the power to create life, to create hope, to create wonder and goodness, or they have the power to bring death, to tear down. And so this morning, I want to ask each of us 2 questions. The first one is this: what are the words that we're saying to ourselves or to others that we need to stop saying? What are those negative things that we're saying to others or about others? What are the negative things that we're speaking about ourselves? I think we all need to heed the words of my first grade teacher. Mrs. Gamble used to sing us a song with these words in it: "Gossip, gossip, ugly thing, such unhappiness it brings. If you can't say something nice, don't talk at all," is my advice. Spoken to me in first grade, I still remember. I think Mrs. Gamble understood the power of our words, right? What are the words we need to stop saying? Sometimes we just need to bite our tongues, right? What are the words that we need to stop saying to ourselves or to others? Then the second question, what are the words we're not saying to ourselves or to others that we need to start saying? What are the uplifting and encouraging things that we should be speaking to others or to ourselves? When God puts something on your heart about someone, if it's good, if it's nice, if it's wonderful, I encourage you, just shoot them a text. Give them a call. Say, man, God just reminded me how awesome you are. How much He loves you. If all of us used encouraging words like that, I think the world would be a different place. According to the Cleveland Clinic, we have about 60,000 thoughts a day that go through our heads. Some of us more, some of us less. But it tells us, they say that 80% of them are negative. 80% of those thoughts that go through our head are negative. The reality is, it's the negativity that all of us need to work on. And so the question is, how do we overcome all these negative thoughts? We have to replace them with positive ones, right? I remember I used to tell my youth, if I tell you to think of anything but a pink elephant, what do you start to think about? A pink elephant, right? How do we get that pink elephant out of our head? We have to fill it with other things, right? We have to start thinking of things besides pink elephants. We have to work on the negativity. So how do we overcome the negative? We replace them with the positive ones. And I love the way Mark Batterson puts it. He says this, we need to flip the script, right? We need to flip the script of our life. And he says, our script cure is script. Sure. I love it, man. Mark Batterson's like the king of pastor dad jokes. The way he says things, my daughter would roll her eyes. Oh, dad. Right? The script cure is scripture. Philippians 4:8, it tells us, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, the way to get rid of the negative is to fill our minds and our hearts with positives. And the Bible is full of positives. It's full of truth. It's full of things that are noble, that are right, that are pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. If we take time to read His Word, to reread His Word, to even just look at the Gospels, right? I loved our kids downstairs are going through the Gospels. Right? The life of Jesus, basically, that's what the Gospels are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the life of Jesus. If we just go back to the Gospels and we look at the life of Jesus, I can guarantee you, if you just look at the stories of Jesus, we can't help but be encouraged by His love and compassion for others. When you look at the life of Jesus, the only negatives we see in the life of Jesus is the way He was treated by others. And even those that treated Him negatively, He treated with compassion and love and respect. God has always spoke life and blessing to His people. And His desire is that we would be people who speak life and blessing in the same way. Because He knows our words have the power to literally change lives. I want to finish with one last story. Some of you may be familiar with the ministry of Nick Vujicic. I said his name correctly. I had to practice it again and again. He's an Australian motivational speaker and author that was born with a rare condition called tetra amelia syndrome, which left him without arms or legs. Maybe you've seen him before. I got to experience him sharing a wonderful message at a Foursquare convention. But Nick's life was changed significantly, he says, by positive words. By positive words and support that he received from his parents and other important people in his life. From an early age, Nick faced numerous challenges due to his physical condition. He struggled with feelings of isolation, depression, and thoughts of suicide. However, his mom and dad both showed him unwavering love and support. They refused to treat him differently or limit his potential just because of his physical limitations. Nick's parents continually encouraged him to focus on what he could do rather than what he couldn't do. They spoke positively to him again and again, fostering a mindset of resilience and determination. They instilled in him the belief that he had the ability to lead a fulfilling and purposeful life, regardless of his physical challenges. Additionally, Nick often shares the impact of a janitor at his high school who during a particularly challenging time in his life spoke words of encouragement to Nick. The janitor told him that he was not a mistake, that he was born for a reason, and that God had a purpose for his life. These words served as a turning point for Nick, inspiring him to overcome his self-doubt and embrace his unique journey. Nick went on to become a motivational speaker, traveling the world to share his story of triumph over adversity. He founded the Life Without Limbs organization, spreading the message of hope, faith, and perseverance. Nick's life story exemplifies the profound impact that positive words and encouragement can have on shaping one's outlook and destiny. I wish all of us could have parents like Nick's. Parents that would encourage us and speak life to us. But I know that there are many of us that haven't had those kind of parents. There are many in our world that don't. There are many in our world that lack positive influences, the kind of positive influences that we all need, which is why we, as followers of Jesus, need to be people that speak life to those around us. As Christians, we're called to be His voice, the voice of Jesus to the world. And the voice of Jesus always speaks life. How are we using our voice? That's the question as we head into this next year. We all have the power of life and death when it comes to the words that we speak. And my prayer for this next year is that we will use that voice to bring life to those around us. My prayer is that we don't fall into the traps of our world and speak like everybody else is speaking nowadays, but that we let the light of Jesus shine through us, and that through our words and our actions, we bring life to those around us. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for last week having to drive down to Junction City, because it's through that time that you spoke this series to me, and through that book you began to show me things, even in my own life, Lord. I know that I don't always speak the words I should to my family. I do a much better job with people in the church than I do with my family, and I need to improve in that, Lord. I want to be someone who speaks life, even when I'm having a bad day, even when things aren't going the way I want them to, that I would be someone that still chooses to speak life to those around me, to my family especially, Lord. And so we want to be people who learn to imitate you, Lord, who learn to live the life that you have called us to live, to speak life, to speak blessing upon others, Lord. And so, Lord, we give you this word. We give you all that you spoke today. We pray that you help us to receive. What is it you want to speak to us? How can we do better? What are those things that we're saying that we need to stop saying? What are those things that we aren't saying that we need to start saying, Lord? Speak into our lives. Show us, Lord, how do we be better at speaking into others? We thank you for these things. We give them to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My encouragement to you is that we imitate the Lord, right? That we read his word, we seek who he is, and we imitate it. It's funny, if you were here this morning, I had my friends up here worshiping with me, Haley and Tristan, and it was interesting. I realized as I'm raising my hands and worshiping the Lord, I kind of glanced down at one moment, and they both have their hands raised. And what were they doing? They were imitating me, right? That's what we're called to do, to imitate the Lord. What is it that he did? How do we do the things that he did? We want to be people who imitate our Heavenly Father, right? We want to seek him and do the things that he's called us to do. I want to finish with a blessing to you guys this morning. May the Lord bless you and show you the value that each of you have in and through him. May his grace and mercy shine upon you. May you walk in his love. And may you be a beacon of light and hope, speaking life to those he brings across your path. That is my prayer and blessing for you in this next year.